Tonight, step into Eric A. Sinati, Unplugged Insights and Perspectives, where the raw truth meets relentless insight. And I'm Eric A. Sinati, your no-holds-barred guide through the grit and grind of today's toughest issues, folks. And it's always tough issues here on our show. Today, we're going to examine something that may have caught your attention. It was a fleet of helicopters landing on the United States Capitol. This exercise wasn't just for show. It's a carefully orchestrated military readiness operation aimed at preparing our national security forces to respond to a range of potential threats, literally a large range of threats. During the election year, the public display of preparedness is much as about deterrence as it's about maintaining the public's confidence in our democratic institutions. And that truly is what we're discussing here, is our process here as a democracy, as the United States of America, the global superpower for good. That's who America is. That's what we are. Whether you, me, or the other countries out there like it or not, we are the superpower, and the world looks to us. When they look to us for answers, but they also look to see how we as Americans respond. These exercises are done all the time, but it was very much a public display of what our agencies, in a coordinated effort, both civilian and military, in conjunction can do if something were to happen here on the soil of the United States or anywhere else around the world. Obviously, the purpose of this exercise was to show the high-profile zone that Washington, D.C. is. And I guess you could say, because they did it in the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol, actually the Capitol building, not just the capital of D.C. is the capital of the country, but the Capitol building, like behind me in the window, they did it there as a show, as maybe because of what happened on January 6th in the last election, how we can, as a nation, encompass our services, coordinate, work together as a team, and make something happen in a positive way. But here's some facts. Exercises like this are obviously to ensure the readiness of all of our national security partners. Everybody's a partner in national security. Not one agency works alone. We all have to coordinate together, and that's what this is. This is not something new. This has been going on for a long time, but this was a very specific incident, and I made it part of today's show because I felt a lot of people may have saw this on a clip somewhere or in the news. What was going on with all these Black Hawk helicopters, assets, I guess we could say, military and law enforcement moving around the Capitol building. Nothing actually happened, folks. It was a drill, a training, exercise of preparedness. But don't get me wrong. It is definitely a subliminal email with an image and video to Putin, you know, to North Korea, Iran, Russia, to all these other countries, that this is what we can do in the snap of a finger in a moment's notice. And they will do that. Obviously, we have to protect our sites swiftly. And this is what they're showing. Given that the Capitol is a symbolic target, and truly it is a symbolic target, this building behind me in the window is the sign of freedom. It's the sign of power. It's the sign of a superpower. It is the sign of the United States of America. We are showing the world how we prepare to protect it, as we should. This is ensuring that everybody realizes the takeaway that the United States is prepared. We are ready to handle whatever comes our way, and regardless of what other outside people are saying and what kind of inside people are saying, that we, you know, there's some turmoil and fighting on the ground and people arguing with each other. There's a lot, but don't believe what you read on Google everywhere, folks. Don't believe what you see on social media. This is an example of organization preparedness that the United States is able to do. And clearly it was effectuated in a way that hands down showed we're ready. Tell me another country that can produce that during busy time in the nation's capital of a major country like this. Coordinating that is a big deal, and it was definitely a statement. We have to look, what do you take away from that? You take away and say you had all the military organizations involved, several law enforcement agencies at the federal, state, and local level. We had the intelligence agents. We had all kinds of people on the ground, boots on the ground, as you would say, in the capital for this training, this preparedness mission. But it also could have been anywhere. It didn't need to be specifically the Capitol building. That could be done and replicated anywhere within the confines of the United States, hands down. But they did it in, obviously, a major area for a reason. A, to make sure that we can operate in a populated area that quickly and secure an area, and to literally practice if it were to happen in that area, and to draw a large amount of press, people taking photographs, talking about it online. Obviously, here we are doing a show about it, so a lot of people are talking about it. And if we're talking about it, you can assure yourself that Iran, Russia, North Korea, China, you know, the whole gamut of our so-called friends saw it as well. That is really what the key here is. Well, what we really want to talk about is the core intelligence community involved. And we call that the IC. The intelligence community is known as the IC. It's made up of roughly 18 agencies, believe it or not. Everybody thinks it's one, two things, but it's roughly 18 agencies. And then there are people that are cooperating partners. Tonight, we're going to break down what the IC consists of and some of the agencies in the IC, again, the intelligence community, our national security structure, framework structure. Within that, I'm going to tell you some of these agencies, what they stand for, what the name stands for, the initials, what their role is, their charter, what their mission, their charter, their purpose is. Just because somebody is a member of the IC, the intelligence community, everybody has a little niche, a little carve-out section. I talk about on my other show, The Hostile Zone, the other syndicated TV radio talk show, it as well, about how things are compartmentalized. So in the intelligence community, any particular agency, let's say, I would be working on an operation or a mission, and the person in the same room, maybe on the other side of the room, has absolutely no idea what I'm doing, and I have no idea what he or she is doing. That's called compartmentalizing. And the reason for that is, so this way, not one person truly knows the entire mission. Not one person truly knows who the TI, the targeted, it's called the TI, the targeted individual, which could be the nation, the actual individual, or whatever it is that, you know, the intelligence community, the IC, is looking at. Not everybody would know the entire package. It's like a pizza. Think of a pizza. You got 8 slices, hopefully. If you're from New York or New Jersey, that's how we do it. 8 slices in a triangle. I found this out going around the country, not always the same everywhere. I don't know. It should be a round pie with 8 slices. Each slice is an intelligence agency. And the pizza is the IC, the intelligence community. So I'm going to break down the slices of pizza, the slices of the intelligence community to you tonight, so you can better understand how the IC works, who they are, and what each individual organization's charter and mission should be and is supposed to be. Don't go anywhere. We're taking a break. If you want to know what the IC is, you better come back and I'll tell you.
At the RamRound Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Ever thought about turning your spare change into serious investments? Let me introduce you to Acorns. This app makes investing as simple as one easy swipe of your credit or debit card. With Acorns, every purchase you make rounds up and invests the difference. Watch your future grow one swipe at a time. Start small, dream big. With Acorns, every bit adds up to something significant.
Download Acorns today. Acorns.com/share or use your smartphone camera and scan the QR code on the screen or enter my referral code 56XJQPC. Again, referral code 56XJQPC and get $5 for free, compliments of me, to start investing today just by downloading the app. Download Acorns now. I'm Eric A. Sinati, the host of the syndicated radio TV talk show, The Hostile Zone, right here on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Eric A. Sinati here. Unplugged insights and perspectives. So we were talking about the IC, the intelligence community. We were talking about all the different agencies that make up the intelligence community. Right before the break, I talked about a pizza pie, whatever you want to call it. And it has 8 slices in that pie. That whole pie would be the IC, the intelligence community. And then each slice of that pizza, of that intelligence community, is an individual agency. So starting with that, the most known one that everybody knows about is the Central Intelligence Agency, CIA. Now, CIA is, again, Central Intelligence Agency. They are not the boss. And I think that is where many people get confused. They think that CIA is in charge of intelligence, basically the intelligence community. Most of you didn't know that it was called the IC until tonight. Most of you are learning that there's roughly 18 agencies or even more involved in the IC. But I'm sure most of you, and I'm sure my executive producer, did you think, Carrie, that CIA was in charge of intelligence for the United States? Did you think that as John Q. Public or James
Most
Q. Public?
Of the time, that's what you get. You know, if there's anything you want to know or something, that be careful because they're watching you or whatever. It's always
No, that's the NSA. That's NSA. But no, that's what you thank you. So for your thought as Jane Q. Public, CIA to you and to obviously the listeners and viewers, that you would think that they are in charge of the intelligence, right? You would think that that is our main intelligence agency. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now I'm going to tell you folks what their role, their charter, what their real mission is and who they answer to and how that works. And we're going to get into the nitty gritty of who they answer to and who they don't answer to. I assure you, it's not who you think it is. CIA, they're focused on foreign intelligence gathering. Foreign. So let me explain section. It's not in my notes, and Carrie's going to get mad, my executive producer. I look over here to see if she's giving me the finger. CIA is operating for foreign intelligence. Their charter does not allow them to operate within the confines of the United States on an American, on a U.S. citizen. It's supposed to be foreign intelligence gathering. Now, again, you heard my words, supposed to be. Not everything occurs as it's supposed to. Not everything as it seems, right? So this is their charter. So their mission is to gather intelligence, to access external threats, to assist in neutralizing them, and to provide insights to U.S. policymakers. That would be the president, Congress, Senate. Okay. Now, also, folks, we have three, again, not in my notes for today, but I think it's very important. We have 3 branches of government in this country. In this wonderful book here, which mine will be out in 3 weeks. Here's a copy of the Constitution here. This is almost what the cover of my book is going to look like, but mine's nicer. And that should be in about 3 weeks. The Constitution breaks up. We have 3 branches of government. The executive branch, which includes the president of the United States. It includes law enforcement. It includes all of those. I'll explain what they mean, those agencies. Then we have the judicial branch, which is the courts, the Supreme Court, federal courts, all that. And you have the legislative branch, which is in that building right behind me. That is your policymakers, your law creators. Now, I'm going to tie that together. The policymakers in this building in the window behind me, the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol, they create a law. They write it. And if they vote on it and they like it, it moves forward. Obviously, Senate does it to Congress, and then Congress does it to Senate. Whoever wrote it, it goes to the other side of the House so they can both vote on it. Once both of them vote and approve, it goes to legislative branch. It goes to executive branch. They send it to the president of the United States. It is known as a bill. It's not a law. It's a bill. Congress passed a bill. Should they sign it, throw the John Hancock on it, and the president puts his signature or her signature on that bill, it now becomes a law. Now you have the judicial system whose job is to oversee and ensure that all laws that Congress writes and passes and that the president signs into a law are constitutional, that they don't conflict with the Constitution, that they allow you and I to have all of our rights afforded to us, and that none of these laws that are created are violating our rights. Now that we understand that, also another very important part of the executive branch is enforcing the law. Executive branch enforces the law. So your prosecution, your public defender, your prosecutors, and your police, these people are in the executive branch. They enforce the laws that Congress passed and the president signed. Why did I go through all that? Because the IC, the intelligence community, falls under the executive branch. What does that mean? Who has oversight over the executive branch? Who hires, fires, and appoints people into the executive branch? The president of the United States. That means CIA is under the thumb directly of the president of the United States. Now, for another episode, we can get into details about how the Trump administration really hit them pretty hard, because you don't really, he started using a lot of private intelligence agencies who have better, sometimes better capabilities than CIA, et cetera. And that is the privilege of the president, because again, the IC, the intelligence community, falls underneath executive branch. With that said, now the mission is to worry about foreign intelligence, foreign actors, and they advise the policy people. They also manage, but not completely, they have their own. It's called the National Clandestine Service. That manages what's known as HUMINT, H-U-M-I-N-T, HUMINT. HUMINT stands for Human Intelligence. That is where we would go out and somebody actually gathers intelligence. They go out, and clandestine means you don't exist. You're undercover. You're not on the radar. You may not even have an IRS tax bill that comes back to CIA. We're going to get deeper into the clandestine service moving forward. I can explain more of it, you know, freely without going too much detail. That would be violating national security, but we're going to get into it. HUMINT is the actual process of going in and doing interpersonal relations, learning people's behavior. If you watch TV, it's kind of like behavioral analysis. You're analyzing the behaviors, whatever foreign adversary or TI, targeted individual, or TS, targeted state, meaning not a state like New Jersey. A state means like a government, you know, like the state of China, state of whatever. Whoever we are monitoring, that person that does human, the people on those teams that do human intelligence, they're getting involved, and we're gathering information about the individual. We're learning the pattern, what they do on their everyday, right down to what time they brush their teeth, what time they take their prescriptions, what prescriptions. I mean, literally, it's that detailed, folks. Everybody, if you think back, hey, Kerry, you there for a second? Let's have a little fun here.
Sure.
So think, this is probably crazy stupid, but I pontificate a point here. Everybody does something in the same pattern without getting into like detail, but like when you get out of bed, besides everybody, obviously, but let's exclude toilet. Okay. But other than that, you know what you're going to do first. You have a plan that you do. You walk right in, either brush your teeth or you make your coffee. You walk, you let the dog out, right? What is the first thing you do, Carrie, when you wake up?
Check my phone for messages.
And who, right? That's very true. That was very good. And that is your thing. I grab mine too. Next to my phone, I look at it. Well, that's very important, because every time we pick up our iPhone, your iPhone has the motion. What do they call it? The hapnetics or something like that in the book? You know, like if you pick the phone up and it knows the motion and it turns on automatically. Well, it's recording in the cloud what time you pick that phone up. If you're doing human, and I'm going to get into other agencies that would know the timing, I would communicate with another agency that would tell me that data. And then I would know, I would add that into your profile. And then the next thing is something else you do, right, Carrie? And then, I mean, you've kind of followed the same thing every day, right?
Yes, I get up and do my thing, brush my teeth, comb my hair, get dressed.
Yep.
And I leave the bathroom and, you know, go to the kitchen where, you know, it's lunch.
Coffee, exactly. And some people grab a power bar really the first thing as they're making the coffee. Like for me, here we go. I'll give you something like you just said. I grab the phone, I look, and then I head into, obviously everybody's doing something like that. I'm going to make my coffee. But while I'm making my coffee, I drink a protein drink. That's part of my morning ritual. The purpose of me telling you that is with human intelligence, that is learning me. Somebody who is in the clandestine service doing human, I might be somewhere watching a group of people, I might be watching Carrie, my executive producer, let's say. We were concerned that Carrie was a terrorist threat to the United States or something of that nature, then I would want to know everything that Carrie does from when she wakes up to she goes to sleep. And I would do that over a long period of time, because then she might be leading a change in pattern. And that change in pattern signals to me something else is going on. Now, that's just looking at Carrie in human. But if we were to look at Carrie, I would want to know where she drives, blah, 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 where she goes, and all of that stuff. Now, if you want to know more about Carrie and how humans works, you're going to come right back, and I'm going to give you more details right after this break.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sean Kelly, founder of Project 201. Right now, too many of our kids are falling through the cracks, and here at Project 201, we're stepping in with mentorship, sports, and life skills. But we need your help. Your donation isn't just a gift. It's an investment into our youth and their future. With your support, we can keep them off the streets, in school, and on the path to success. Become a donor, mentor, or sponsor today, and let's change lives together. You can visit our website, 201sports.org, to make your impact now, and or give me a call here at 201-725-5062. Mentorship through sports, changing lives one at a time.
Welcome back to Eric A. Sinati Unplugged, Insights and Perspectives. So before the break, hopefully you followed through with us and you're here. Before the break, I was discussing human intelligence, and kind of the basic idea of what that mission is. And we were talking about CIA, Central Intelligence Agency, CIA. We were talking about the role and the structure and their charter. So that's what I was explaining. We were discussing about Carrie. And I was talking about my executive producer about what she might do when she gets up. Number one, number two, number three. Well, after a long period of time, somebody being assigned to work on that particular case. And again, this is intelligence gathering, human, not investigation. Please don't confuse the difference between the investigation and human intelligence, human or intelligence gathering, whatever the term is called, human, but out there, intelligence gathering or investigations. An investigation is investigating something that we know happened already and we're investigating. Since I've worked as an investigator, I can explain both of these things to you. As an investigator, I would be looking at something that already happened, and I'm going back through a timeline of events of things that happened to come up with why and how it happened. That's what an investigation is. Human intelligence, or the act of gathering intelligence, you're not investigating. People confuse these things, but they're not the same. In human, we're not looking for the facts of something that occurred to find a person or a reason or a cause or whatever behind an incident. For intelligence purposes, we're gathering to avoid something from happening. We are being proactive by actively seeking out a potential threat before it becomes a threat. And then we're now having to use our other agencies to investigate an incident. By doing intelligence gathering, human, in other countries or wherever it might be going on, whether it be cyber digitally or actual human intelligence in person, interpersonal, We're not looking to solve a crime. We're not trying to investigate. We are gathering information. We're gathering intel to make sure that something doesn't happen. Very big difference. And I think that is a common misconception. What do you think, Carrie? Was that good? Like, because I think people can maybe don't understand what intelligence gathering, or now the term humans for everybody else, compared to investigation. What say you, Carrie?
I agree. I didn't know. Well, I shouldn't say that. Because I'm interested in the law and have for years and followed all this kind of stuff, I knew that CIA doesn't really have any like jurisdiction, I guess you would say, whereas right. the other agencies do. They can actually, you know.
Right. And I'm going to highlight the difference between some agencies that have a dual role. And don't confuse everybody. There are times when the IC, specifically CIA or what other agencies we're going to talk about, they do have a role inside the confines. But what I was really trying to articulate, and I'm glad that you helped me with that. I know that now you understood, so that they do out there. An investigation is looking into something after the fact, whereas for intelligence purposes, you're trying to avoid something and you're trying to be proactive. You're trying to get two steps ahead of our adversary, and that's pretty much the role. So what is the impact? CIA's impact, the Central Intelligence Agency, CIA's impact in countering disinformation and external threats to democracy is integral. Hands down, it's integral, especially during election cycles. Now, let me explain one thing. When I talked about the IC and the slices of pizza, meaning each agency being, you know, the slices of the pie, CIA is the central hub. But they are not the boss. They do not run all the agencies, don't answer to CIA, just as CIA doesn't answer to another agency. CIA is supposed to be the central hub that other agencies share information, called information sharing, and a fusion center, F-U-S-I-N, S-I-O-N, fusion center. That's what they're known as, a fusion center. And that is where information sharing is done. CIA is kind of like the central hub. So when you have one agency, which we're going to name in a few minutes, one agency has a bit of information and another one has a bit of information, they can bring it together in the hub of CIA. Again, because just like I was saying, for the individual working within an intelligence agency, it's compartmentalized. So same thing within the IC. It's slightly compartmentalized. What one agency is working on, another intelligence agency may not specifically know the role and mission of that particular agency. But the hub, CIA hub, there would be somebody in there, a cell, a team leader, a SAC special agent in charge, somebody that is helping coordinate the information sharing process. So in 2023, CIA collaborated with more than 40 nations in operations aimed at countering foreign disinformation. That's a lot. And that's an estimated number. And again, folks, remember when I tell you, the government tells you something and they give you a number, assume it's larger. If we made a joke in a previous show, it's like if you ask your girlfriend or your boyfriend how many people they've had relations with, whatever number that your girlfriend or boyfriend tells you, you can times that number by two. And Carrie enjoyed that last time when I said that, but it's true. So when CIA says they've collaborated with over 40 nations aimed at combating foreign disinformation, then you can safely assume it's probably a lot more than 40. Or maybe it's one and they want you to think it's more. But this is, we can only go by what we can read, and I can only tell you what I'm authorized to tell you. So CIA is the hub. Moving into another agency, we have the infamously known NSA. National Security Agency, which is in charge of SIGINT, S-I-G-I-N-T, SIGINT, which stands for Signals Intelligence. So when I was talking, Carrie, before, and you said you pick your phone up in the morning, as CIA, the human person that might be out there, and don't get me wrong, NSA has a human section as well. Kind of everybody collaborates a little bit. And where I would want to know about Carrie picking up the phone, NSA, National Security Agency, would be one of the people, I would pick up my phone or whatever communication device I might be using in the field. And I would ask somebody from there would be providing me the signet, the signals intelligence, which is when your phone lights up, if you're an iPhone or whatever, you're connected to a cloud. But even if you're not on a cloud, folks, you're on a cell phone tower. Your information is out there. So we would know what time Carrie picked up her phone in the morning. And we could go back through a period of time and look and see what time that phone was picked up every day. So if I were to be inserted in and be doing a human intelligence gathering, I would communicate with NSA. NSA would tell me, this is previously, the phone usually starts working and doing something, meaning somebody's picking it up at 06 a.m., 0600, 6 in the morning. And it pretty much does that these days of the week. So now that's where NSA would be giving that information to the on-the-ground intelligence personnel, and then they would pick it up from there and know this is what the pattern should be, and it should continue that way. NSA, anybody saw the movie, I hope you did, great movie, with Will Smith, Enemy of the State. Did you see that, Carrie, Enemy of the State?
I don't think I did see that.
I know you did, because I played a clip of it on the show with you.
Okay, you so did. I saw a clip
It's called Enemy of the State. It's with Will Smith. It was done in 1998, 99. And folks, if you didn't see it, it would be shocking when you see the capabilities of what NSA was able to do to Will Smith in that movie to get back information they wanted and what they were capable of doing in 1998. And trust me when I tell you, if you watch that movie and you see the capabilities, don't flood your mind, because Hollywood isn't always too far away from reality. Everything isn't always as it seems, folks. Like I said, a lot of times the most classified, intense things that are out there happen right in front of your face. And you don't even know it because you're not looking for it. When you're being sneaky, people notice that. When you operate out in the open, people don't notice. So go back and watch that movie from 1998 and your mind will be blown at the technology and the abilities of NSA in 1998. And here we are in 2024. And if you could see what they were able to do then, and that was for a movie. Again, when you see a movie, it's kind of like the boyfriend and girlfriend, how many people you dated before me. When you saw that movie in 1998, obviously got some ideas from somewhere of this technology. So imagine what they didn't tell the movie producers and the writers, where they really were then. Kind of like my SR-71, if you watch The Hostile Zone, we talked about aliens and UFOs, UAPs. We talked about that kind of stuff. And we said, what the technology jump has been in a period of time. Well, if you look at that movie, 1998, with Will Smith, Enemy of the State, and look at today, you'd be like, I can't imagine what the tech is today. And that was Enemy of the State, NSA, National Security Agency. And they handle signals intelligence, SIGINT. So with that, when we go to the commercial, I'm sure NSA knows if you change a station, and they'll call me and tell me you went to another station. Don't go anywhere.
My name is Sean Kelly, founder of Project 201. Right now, too many of our kids are falling through the cracks, and here at Project 201, we're stepping in with mentorship, sports, and life skills. But we need your help. Your donation isn't just a gift, it's an investment into our youth and their future. With your support, we can keep them off the streets, in school, and on the path to success. Become a donor, mentor, or sponsor today, and let's change lives together. You can visit our website, 201sports.org, to make your impact now, and or give me a call here at 201-725-5062. Mentorship through sports, changing lives one at a time.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back to Eric A. Sinati Unplugged, Insights and Perspective. So before the break, going to come back because I understand NSA said you didn't go anywhere, so you're here. We were talking about NSA. That's National Security Agency. They handle signals intelligence. So their job is to monitor foreign communications that might impact national security. It's kind of like the cybersecurity directorate. It plays a pivotal role in protecting government agency networks, programs, and, you know, telecommunications and all of those wonderful things, which are very important right now during the election season. We know that a lot of ballots are being cast electronically when you go in. It's electric. Well, if it's electric, it runs on something that is a signal. Electricity, obviously, we would want to ensure that all that's protected. That is NSA's job, National Security Agency. By defending against cyber intrusions, NSA ensures that U.S. systems, everything, remain secure from foreign influence, which is very important. We spent an entire 4 years of the Trump administration hearing about Russian collusion. We found out later that really was not the case. The whole purpose of NSA is to ensure that doesn't happen. So that is another slice of the pizza pie of the IC, the intelligence community. Now we have another agency I'm going to introduce you to. Let's not have agency overload, but I'm going to give you another one. I told you there's a lot of slices to the IC. We have the NGA, National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. Now, before you say anything, folks, and before Carrie says anything, and my executive producer, yes, I said NGA, but I gave you four words. The government's not really good at English and math combination. They like everything to flow nice. CIA, NSA, DHS, FBI, right? They like that. That's what government likes. So when they had the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, they wanted everything to be the three-letter alphabet. So it became NGA. They put a hyphen between geospatial-intelligence. Weird, but I had to say that because I'll be botted and trolled over that, over why I said four words and only gave you three letters. The role of NGA. NGA provides a very important role in the entire process of the IC. They provide geospatial intelligence. They provide the pictures. Google Earth, right? We go on Google Maps, right? You go and you want to look up a location and get directions there. Obviously, a satellite is operating that to show you those locations. The Geospatial Intelligence Agency, NGA, they provide the imagery around the world. Real time imagery, meaning right now, let me acquisition, word of the day, acquisition a satellite, put in a coordinates. Unlike everybody out there, you look at a map, you don't put an address in. We have a longitude and a latitude, a number and a number, and those numbers cross, intersect, and pinpoint right down to less than 200 feet. Put it in, the satellite can grab within 200 feet and sometimes less than 200 feet of a particular location in real time. How does that benefit somebody on the ground, whether it be an intelligence covert operative or somebody that's not covert, that's just working overseas, or a military commander, whoever might be requiring it? They will give real time a stream, like kind of like streaming on Facebook or TikTok or whatever you stream. They will assign you a stream. We can log into that. At that stream, it'll be real time of that location. And you can watch the inner and outer workings of that location all the time. I don't want to get into too many details on how satellites work. We could do a whole show on that, Carrie. Maybe take a note. I can explain how satellites work, because satellites move in orbit. And when you're in orbit, I've mentioned this on my other show, the International Space Station is in orbit, and that's lower Earth orbit. There's several levels. But these satellites, they are also moving, and the speed is roughly 17,500 miles an hour. So roughly every hour, give or take, of the International Space Station and a satellite passes around the Earth. What you ask is, and I know you're thinking, how can you real time watch something if the satellite is moving? This is correct. There is a process where other satellites are fixed and they're not in the same orbit. There are other orbits that are out and they move at different speeds and some can be fixed. You can literally fix it and directionally move it in real time on a spot and it's not going to travel around the Earth. Other ones do and you communicate with them, but you can have a fixed one. I don't want to give up too much information on that, but that's how it works. When you put in your coordinates on your GPS system, whatever you're using, it's really a longitude and a latitude, and it's putting in a street address. So the NGA, the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, they are the responsible organization who is literally monitoring these satellites in real time. They're watching Russia. They're reading a newspaper in Red Square. I'm sure somebody is sitting having a coffee and a newspaper, and they're sitting right now in Red Square. And I'm sure somebody in Virginia is watching a screen and reading the newspaper with that person. That's how good our intelligence is. That's how spot on the NGA. That's their mission. They are tasked with providing critical visual data. Critical. You cannot operate without them. They are so under talked about, so under recognized that hats off to the NGA. Bravo Zulu to the men and women at NGA because they do a fabulous job at getting real-time imagery, and they'll do it in breaking it down in times. So they can give you image, and it's called like layering image on an image on an image. And you can see the growth of a neighborhood based on a time frame. And you could break it down by 10 days, 5 days, or a year. We'll go back to you, Carrie. What did Carrie's house look like on this day 1 year ago? They can tell you exactly, and they can give you that image of Carrie and her neighborhood a year ago right now, and then 6 months later, and what it looks like today. Obviously, they can't look tomorrow because then that would... Or maybe the government can do that. Maybe do they time travel? I don't know. But everything blows out of mind, so who knows? But truthfully, they can look and break it down on a time frame, which again is very critical to the entire intelligence national security framework. And we're going to circle back everybody moving forward. I preface this with the elections. And we started this whole show today based on if you might have watched the helicopters landing in Capitol. It's all a process here, you know? So there's a big picture going on here and it's bigger than you think. And again, it happens right in front of your face. Most people overlook it. I bet you the majority of people that live in DC didn't even pay any attention to this. And even outsiders probably didn't really realize. Certain people took notice and said, oh, there's something going on. But it happened in right in your face. And probably not many people are talking about it. Carrie, was this talked about anywhere on any other news outlet?
I have seen nothing on it. Only one footage. And it was
remind me
night.
To give you a the video. Of... That's good, but not so good. Because it happened. And we're talking a lot of Black Hawk helicopters from a multitude of agencies landing in the middle of the Capitol in Washington, D.C., with a lot of people there. And you didn't really see it on a lot of news outlets because everything isn't always as it seems. And the most secretive, undercover, covert stuff happens right in front of your face and you swore you didn't see it. Or if you see it, right, Carrie, you see it, you're like, that didn't happen. That can't be real, right? How many times you saw something like that just didn't happen?
It's really funny. Like, you know, we're driving to, you know, to work and they'll say, God, did you see that car over there? And it's like, you did, but you think,
yeah. You weren't sure. You question yourself. And then you say, that can't be real. There's footage out there. And if you can't find it, Carrie, remind me, I can get it for you. There's footage of us, of the military transporting objects that are just insane. Nuclear warheads, ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, ICBM. They have to be transported somehow, folks. They're built and made somewhere, and then they transport, and they have to be brought to wherever we would eventually or hopefully never have to deploy it, but it has to get there. They drive down roads, folks. They drive right down the street. There are railroad tracks that are bringing weapons and stuff in and out of it. Everywhere across the entire nation on the roadways, the railways, obviously the air and the sea. You're not going to always see that. But look up when you hear a plane next time. Look up when you hear a helicopter. I bet you 33% of the time, Sinati's number, 33% of the time, it's something governmental that you probably don't know. Or when you see the little Piper jet, or they call them a Cessna, whatever, the smaller planes, a lot of times when you see those, they might not just be your neighborhood community pilot. Agencies have been known to use these aircraft all the time, just like there's been used company vehicles for companies. Specifically, I'm not going to name companies because I don't know if I'm authorized to say any names of any specific companies. Let's just say, what was in the Roadrunner, Gary? Acme Construction or something? Remember the little Roadrunner?
Acme Construction.
Right?
A-C-M-E.
What was his name? Wile E. Coyote? What was his
Wile
name?
Wile E. Coyote.
So Wile E. Coyote. And what was the other guy? The name. Help me out here.
The Roadrunner?
Yes. He was trying to drop, right? They were always trying to blow him up. That was the whole premise of the cartoon, right? Well, every time he opened the box, it said Acme Construction, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to say, and I only told that story so I don't get botted and trolled. So we're going to just use the company name Acme, okay? Acme from the cartoon. No copyright violations, and I'm not giving out national security secrets here. You might see Acme vehicle driving around every day in your neighborhood. But guess what? It might not be accurate. Actually, I have a real-time piece of information I'm going to put out to you folks. You ready, Gary? I'm going to put it out. It's not in the notes. I'm going to do it right now. Here is something big, and I'm going to give you the information. Did you know that FedEx is now working for the government? Did you know that, Gary? I just blew up their spot right now.
Actually, no, I didn't.
Okay, I'm going to give you the information. We're going to talk about FedEx. This is real, folks, right here. And it's not part of my notes, but I'm going to tell you. FedEx, there's a thing out there called automated license plate reader system, reader program, reader system. It automatically reads all the license plates that are operating on a street, whether they're parked or moving. They are popping up all over the country, every traffic place. There are even HOAs, housing associations, that are buying into. There's a lawsuit actually going against one of the companies that are making this program right now that we could talk about for another episode. Mark that into the notes. They track all the license plates and they scan the plate and it goes into the system, and they allege that it gets deleted after a period of time. Again, everything isn't always as it seems. Automated license plate reader program. And if you've ever been out, you ever noticed, and then they changed the system a little bit, Gary, but did you ever notice when you saw a police car at one point, they had like a strip on the back of the car and it looked like it was a light bar, but it was on the trunk? You ever seen that? And it's sitting on the back of a police car on a trunk. That's the original one that came out. You know what I'm talking about? I can probably, show
you. No, I don't remember seeing anything like that.
They are tracking all the license plates. So they can at any time know every license plate of every vehicle that's been anywhere. That is one of the programs that we're talking about here. This is a major program. Like I said, FedEx is doing this. FedEx has on their trucks a license plate reader. Now, the government, we have a Fourth Amendment, right, of the U.S. Constitution. Illegal search and seizure, can't do that. Government can't violate your privacy, right? They're not allowed to touch your persons, place, properties, things, et cetera, right? Illegal search. What if you were to buy it from a third party? Is FedEx violating your constitutional rights if they photograph their license plate reader on every FedEx truck? Is reading the license plates of all the cars in the community? Now, and if it's in your driveway, now again, there's a whole thing if you have a reasonable expectation of privacy. If they're a private agency and they're selling it, then is the government violating your Fourth Amendment rights? Hold on to that thought for a minute, because I want you to think about that. FedEx is reading all the license plates, and we're going to give you the information on that. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a short break. I don't know if you left, because FedEx will tell us if your car moved. See you in a minute.
At the Rembrandt Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Ever thought about turning your spare change into serious investments? Let me introduce you to Acorns. This app makes investing as simple as one easy swipe of your credit or debit card. With Acorns, every purchase you make rounds up and invests the difference. Watch your future grow one swipe at a time. Start small, dream big. With Acorns, every bit adds up to something significant. Download Acorns today, acorns.com/share, or use your smartphone camera and scan the QR code on the screen, or enter my referral code, 56XJQPC. Again, referral code 56XJQPC, and get $5 for free, compliments of me, to start investing today just by downloading the app. Download Acorns now. I'm Eric A. Sonati, the host of the syndicated radio TV talk show, The Hostile Zone, right here on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to Eric A. Sonati Unplugged, Insights and Perspectives. Thank you for coming back. We know that you didn't leave. I know NSA told me that you didn't change a station on your TV or on your radio in the car, on your phone. NGA and other agencies told me that you didn't move. So that's good. Thank you. We were talking about the NGA. We were talking about the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. We were talking about how some of this stuff operates. And I specifically talked about FedEx, which was not in my notes. I think we could do a whole episode on that. Check out the Automated License Plate Reader program. None of you probably even knew it existed, and now you do. They are putting it on everywhere. They have it on, coming. Even HOAs, homeowners associations, are buying this technology to see who's coming in and out of communities. You wonder why somebody who has a DWI, who's got a driving while under the influence, or any kind of like charge, and they continuously are getting pulled over for the same thing, or we'll say being profiled or targeted, right, Carrie? Right? You say, why does somebody have the same stuff? I'm sure you've seen this before. You say, well, wow, they must be drinking and driving like crazy to be caught all the time, to get three convictions. Or why do they find this person this happened? Well, because if you have a DWI on your record, driving while intoxicated, or DUI, driving under the influence, wherever it, whatever the code is, how it's codified, word of the day, in your state, either way, it's still operating under the influence. Well, that information is attached to your driver's license. When you register a car, your driver's license is on the paperwork to register the car. The Automated License Plate Reader program has all this information. So where I'm going with this, without going into a C-hole, and I'm going to say quickly, is why this person may get stopped several times, because it's in the system. And when the law enforcement, a regular police car that has the Automated License Plate Reader program in the car, when they drive by, it rings. You ever watch, Carrie, that show, Parking Wars?
No, I haven't. I've seen...
Yeah, I'm not sure what station. It's True TV. True TV or something like that. Well, anyway, they follow Philadelphia and Detroit, are the two main cities, and they show you how they go out and boot the cars. But when if you watch a scene, and maybe you can cut a scene and put it in and show people, you'll see them when they do the show that people are driving in the vehicle, whether it be the boot vehicle or a car, that they're gonna write parking tickets to the cars that they visually see that parked illegally. But you ask yourself, how did they know that that green BMW on a side street needs a boot? They don't run every license plate. That would just be simply impossible for one or two people in a car that are parking enforcement to do. They're using the Automated License Plate Reader program. So if you watch a scene from Parking Wars, you'll see them driving in a van, whether it be the person that's going to write the ticket or the people that are going to put the boot on the car. As they're driving, you see there's a computer up on there in the center, and like any police car. And then you hear a sound that goes boop, doop, or something like that. Right, Carrie? You've heard that? That little sound is telling them they got a hit. The license plate reader recognized the license plate, cross-referenced it with Philadelphia or Detroit or whatever city it might be's internal system, and said, oh, they owe us 90 past due tickets. And then they know which car to target. They know who to go look and put the boot on. Same sort of process works with driving. So you could say, how did somebody get a DWI six different times? Maybe they really weren't all that intoxicated. Maybe they had a driving while under the influence, and they maybe made that mistake. But then 6 months later, they've got their license back, and they don't do that. But they had one beer, two beers, or two drinks. Technically, they might exceed that 0.08, because technically the number is 0.08 percentage of blood alcohol, BAC, blood alcohol content, so concentration. Why would they get stopped? Because maybe, and I'm just putting it out there, maybe the automated license plate reader notified the law enforcement that was on in the car driving right past them. This car has a history. This driver in this car with this license plate, at least this license plate we know of, has been involved in a DUI or DWI. The person registered to that car has committed this particular traffic infraction. So what's the probability to me, if I was the officer, if I had five cars to pull over in front of me, which car am I going to pull over? Well, clearly, unless somebody's acting erratically or doing something directly like crazy that I need to definitely pull them over, well, the automated license plate reader program would tell the officer, hey, this one here has been arrested previously for driving under the influence. They find a reason, because that's not probable cause or reasonable articulable suspicion to make the stop based on the reader. But it does tell them that you're a car to watch. Did I see hold that too far, Carrie?
No, but that's good information, because I don't think a lot of people knew that.
Good. Take notes of that, because I have a world of information to put out, Carrie. I truly am a plethora of things that'll blow people's mind. So take notes of those, because those are good shows. In closing tonight, folks, as we move forward, you're coming back tomorrow because it's a docuseries. But as we close today, remember, folks, always, always stay informed. It's not just a choice. It's your responsibility. Again, don't rely on Google. Don't rely on artificial intelligence. Use your God-given noodle. Do some thinking, some reasoning. Stay informed, because your safety is based on your knowledge and your understanding of what's going on around. Now, it's a responsibility of everybody. Here on Unplugged, we are about cutting through the noise. We're about digging deep and seeking the truth. Whatever that truth might be, we're not going to give you biased truth. We're going to give you the truth, however it is. And if I'm wrong, I'll admit I'm wrong, but I worked at great lengths to ensure we give you great information. We dig deep. This is Eric Gaysonat, the one and only. Until next time, stay sharp, stay engaged, and never, ever, ever stop questioning what lies beneath the surface. Because what's right in your face could even be even more in your face. We'll see you tomorrow night. Until then, stay safe. God bless America. And check us out on any podcast platform. And if we're not on your cable provider, demand it. I'll see you tomorrow night, America. Good night. God bless.